An increase in cable theft in recent weeks has been a worrying trend, particularly in Gauteng. The broad use of copper has increased the value of the metal, enticing criminals and scrapyards to illegally obtain it. This comes after hundreds of Alexander residents were left without power for almost a week after a blaze broke out at a switching substation. Joining us this morning on the line to discuss the issue, we have mining and energy advisor Ted Blom. Ted, thank you so much for your time. Good morning. Welcome.
Hi, good morning. Thank you.
We know that the issue of copper theft has been an ongoing one for a number of years in South Africa. One got the impression, though, that recently it improved somewhat as many started to move towards fiber and that kind of thing. What's your assessment of the current level of concern?
Okay, so yes, telephone lines can move to fiber, and they have indeed done so quite drastically. But power lines still need to be copper or what they call conductor, which is an aluminium copper alloy. That has increased, unfortunately, over the last year or so at a tremendous rate. And I think it's commensurate with the increased poverty that we're experiencing in South Africa, where people are just so, so desperate that they have to scavenge for whatever they can find and try and turn it into money. And suddenly improved by the fact that closed the lockdown for the virus has stopped all trade, and this is just desperately hungry people who seemingly need to try and forage a living one way or the other. And it's very sad because the impact on the economy and on people's lives is just unbelievable.
So what are the options here, right? As you mentioned, when it comes to telephone lines, they've gone fiber. When it comes to power, it's a bit more complicated. What can be done to try and overcome the situation? Is there an alternative to copper?
Unfortunately not. The copper's been around for over 100 or over for thousands of years, but as an electricity conductor, and is the cheapest and best conductor at the price. That's not going to disappear quickly. I mean, there's a possibility of looking at the new style technologies, but those aren't mature enough to actually deploy into the marketplace. So yes, it's copper. Copper it's been, and copper it's going to be for the foreseeable future. But there are methods where the utility can put tamper-proof devices on the infrastructure and get early warning when tampering is about to start or has started, depending on the type of the device that's been put in. I approved those type of devices many years ago, 12 years ago, when I was at Eskom and sat on one or two of the tender committees. Mm. But I'm told that what's happened is people actually want some of the equipment stolen or destroyed because they get kickbacks on the sale of new equipment. So it's a very sickening situation.
Indeed. Now, who benefits from the illicit copper trade? We know it's the poorest of the poor who steal it to try and eke out a living. But who do they sell it to, and what is it then used for? Are there big syndicates that are operating this behind the scenes?
Well, I mean, I've just heard in the last couple of days that the export of scrap metal has been a significant number in our exports. We're talking about a couple of billion rand. The thief, unfortunately, he doesn't get much value. So the damage that he causes is far bigger than the value that he gets. Hmm. It's like when they break your car windscreen, which costs 5,000 rand, you steal a car radio, which is 100 rand. Hmm. It's that type of scenario. So the thief gets less than 1% or maybe between 1 and 10% of the value, but the harm and the destruction that it causes is not even equal to the value. It's equal to 10 to 50 times the value, because you've got thousands of people, as example, in this town without electricity. So they can't work, they can't cook, they can't make money, they can't run the small businesses. They die of the cold, and the students can't learn. The impact is ginormous.
Now, what do we advise when it comes to the ordinary citizen, right? Not a utility as such. They have their lights on the boundary wall stolen. Now even solar lights are being stolen. Is there copper that the thieves are after, or is it something else? And what can they do?
Okay, so I've had my boundary lights stolen many years ago when I first tried to improve my property in Sandton. And there's not much you can do because Other than maybe putting an electric fence connected to the device, the light or the lampstand or whatever it is. But even that isn't a healthy situation. There's metal in those lampstands or lamp holders or light holders. Very little metal, but yet, you know, with the dire situation, and really we need to look at the solution elsewhere. If people had a proper income, whether it be social security grant or whatever it is, they wouldn't be driven to destroy the environment. I mean, and that is something that this government needs to probably learn, is that, and I've heard them talking about the universal grant to everybody, whether because it's easier to pay it to everybody and then tax people who get an income than to do it the current way where they give it to selective people and it's just fraud and corruption all over the show. But that's the way we'll have to move, especially now with the dire circumstances from the lockdown. There are more and more people that are so desperate. And you and I, we see some of them at the traffic lights. We see some of them outside shops. But really, the problem, I think, is far, far bigger than what we even see and is even visible. And that's what happens during the dark of the night, is they go around and they scavenge in the dustbins like animals. I mean, it's just terrible.
Finally then, Ted, is this a uniquely South African problem because of the high levels of poverty, especially now post-lockdown? Or do you know of other countries that face a similar challenge with copper theft, and what have they done to try and overcome it?
You know what? It's a societal problem. I've been fortunate in that I've managed to travel around the globe a couple of times to many, many countries. And if the society doesn't tolerate theft and destruction of value, then the instances of pillaging is much more rare. But as soon as society has broken down, so it's symptomatic of a broken society where people are falling through the safety nets or there aren't any safety nets, and this is the only way for them to survive. And what they do, some people do the pillaging, other people do the robbing of people and do harm to people at the same time. So I don't know which is the lesser of the two evils. I just think it's a sad indictment of the society we've built in the last 26 years.
Indeed. Ted Blom, thank you for your time.
You're welcome, sir. Anytime.